B-Pod Studios.
This. Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crack enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Kane went for a hit on Chara. Kane got the worst of that. And then Chara steps into Kane. And he buckled him. And now Kane grabs a hold of Chara and just starts throwing him. Chara's now going to grab him. They all gather at the bottom of the far circle. Chuck fires a right hand. Another right to the body. Chara right hand. Kane is now holding on. Chara with the right. Chara another overhand right. Another right. Another right to the ear. The linesman's going to step in.
So another good win for the Bruins last night. That was, again, the wet fart night, the Claude Julien wet fart night coming off that road trip. First game back at home is usually a tough one. And it could have been for the Bruins. Their goalie lets in just an atrocious dribbler. Halak lets in that first goal. They could have deflated. Just the opposite. They climb back into the game, go up 4-1 in the second period with three beautiful goals. One goal was better than the next. And then San Jose gets a little chippy, a little upset. They start taking the game down, downtown a little bit, and the Bruins respond physically. It was beautiful. That, to me, was the most encouraging thing of all, which shows you why you should take the Bruins seriously. And that's just what that means exactly with Tampa sitting there in the second round. They're still going to be heavily favored, so I don't know what that means in terms of how far you go. But to me, that was easily the best play last night. I said this earlier. If you remember the Bruins' run back in 2010, 11, that run of years leading into their Stanley Cup, they started to fight a lot and had a couple of seminal nights where it was really against Sean Avery and the Stars was one of them. They had a couple against the Canadiens, regular season games that turned into yard sale games. And they were real sort of defining games where you saw the fight with the team. They fought for each other. They became Frank the Tank, who I see on my board, called them a gang at that time. And those were really regular season nights that helped define that team and set who they were. I thought last night, you can't have nights like that anymore in the league. It just doesn't exist. But that was maybe 25% of it. It was like had whiffs of it, little whiffs of that kind of night where Evander Kane is running around like a jackass all night. Hair across his nose, wants it. Wants to go. He goes at it a little with Corrali. They don't really get to engage. They just get roughing minors. That's in the second. And then in the third, he starts running Chara. Chara runs him, and then they go behind the net. Kane jumps him behind the net, and Chara goes down. 42 years old in a couple weeks. 42. Captain is on the ice, could easily just sort of call it a night because the refs would have stepped in. He lost his skates, and he was down on the ice. Instead, he works his way back up and then beats the bag out of Evander Kane, which isn't easy to do. Evander Kane's a very tough player, tough guy. And I give Evander Kane a little bit of credit for even going at it with Chara because there's very few guys in the league that take on Chara. Chara's the most feared fighter in the league, and that's not saying the best, but no one wants to go with him because the reach advantage, if he gets you with that left hand extended and he can use his reach, it's over. And last night, it was over when he got the reach. He first artfully got the helmet off, which I loved. It was great. You couldn't really figure out at first what he was doing. He was sort of pawing at him like a bear. And then he got the helmet off, popped the helmet off, and then just teed off on Kane. And that was that. But I love it when Chara fights because to me, they usually mean something. He doesn't waste a fight on a nothing night or a nothing moment. If it ain't worth his time, he ain't going to do it. And first of all, it's hard to find a partner. Like I said, no one wants to go with him. But when he does, it usually means something. And last night meant something. San Jose was taking the game in that direction. So Char said, you want to go, especially the Kane. You want to run around like this, running your mouth and running guys? Then let's go. When Kane was about to go with Corrali, I think Char skated right up and got in his ear and was saying, if we're going to do this, let's do this. Or was saying whatever. Like Kane had a thing with Kevin Miller before, and Kevin Miller was out of the game. So he was just looking for it. And Chara made sure that he was there from the start. And Kane is a tough, tough fighter. And Chara was there, your captain, your 42-year-old captain was there from the start to say, if you want to go, I'm here. And then he got jumped in the third and beat the bag out of him. Mwah. That was beautiful.
I mean, that's leadership. That's what it is. What you just described. Think about it. He's Brad Stevens' age. So think of Stevens rolling around on the court with someone fighting, throwing punches like that. Like, and again, I'm sorry, just it was hard to not contrast the Celtics and the Bruins last night. So on the one hand, you've got all this team with all this talent that won't try and can't figure it out. On the ice in Boston, you had a team that just added a guy who got a concussion that knocked him out for 2 months. They patched it up, put on the same jersey, got under the ice, and won the game 4-1, and they both got points.
The Bruins' whole approach last night, when Kane jumps Char, and Char goes down, and Kane's on top of him, and it looks like he's just going to, you know, pummel him as he's on the ice, David Backes skates over to jump Kane. He would have taken a third man in, he would have been ejected, probably suspended like that, but Backes dropped the stick, was ready to drop the gloves, and jump on top of Kane to get him off of Chara. Held up when Chara got to his skates and said, okay, he's got it. Then Backes was on the ice for the next faceoff. San Jose sends out this, was it Healy? I forget his name. Sends out, you know, one of their fighters, and Backes is still on the ice, and this guy challenges Backes. Backes says, okay, let's go. Now Backes got the crap kicked out of him. The absolute crap. It was a 10-minute TKO, Michael Healy. But the whole mindset, okay, you want to go? Let's go. Boom, and he went down in 2 seconds. But Wagner took a fight. Rally was willing to fight Kane. Chara was there to make sure that Kane didn't just tee off on Corrali. When Kane wanted to go with Chara, he beat the bag out of him. Backes was there to back up Chara. Backes stayed on the ice. They send out a guy to now challenge Backes. Backes says, okay. Like, that, to me, was the night last night. Never mind the beautiful goals and the good win and the run they're on. That thing shows me they're a team to take seriously.
Yeah, it's a team that's united. Team that's unified.
Yeah, like a toughness, balls, team resiliency. They have all year.
Yeah, and they're engaged.
Can I read you an email?
Yeah.
Our emailer says, I'm taking the cheese on the Bruins. Don't care. Mock away. Mock me. I feel confident in a deep run, he says. They've got balls and toughness in spades. 10-0-4 in their last 14 of those 14 games. 9 were decided by a single goal. And 4 of the 10 were decided in overtime. During that, they went 5-0-2 against teams currently in a playoff spot. All of this with their best goal scorer on the shelf because he was a drunk klutz. More importantly, the most important kids, McAvoy, DeBrusk, and Quiet Heinen, have all broken out of their sophomore slumps. So, yep, I'm taking the cheese on the Bruins. Don't care if you mock me. Mock away.
Yeah, if I could proclaim the Celtics dead in the water.
That was Jim Murray. Yes, go ahead.
I can declare that I think the Bruins are going to go on a deep run. They might even win the Stanley Cup. I feel that confident in it because they look like that kind of team. They remind me of what I was watching in 2011.
Let's keep it in our pantalones here.
No, I think I can bring a little positivity every once in a while. I haven't been ruined by the both of you that much.
Not that much.
No, I'll say this. If they get through Tampa, they can win the Cup.
Right, or someone knocks them off.
You know, if there's an upset, meaning you or someone else knock off Tampa, they can win the Cup. With the way they're playing and what they've got going on, I just think Tampa's separated themselves from everybody, not just you. This isn't necessarily commentary on you. It's just, you know, Tampa's a prohibitive favorite against anyone. And they're sitting in your division second round. So if they get past that, then sure.
Yes.
They can win the Cup. That's an old cut. I don't like the audio Photoshop, the old cut. They can win the Cup. Did I say that? I like the deadline moves. They made them better. They haven't made them much better. I mean, they haven't, like, dramatically closed the gap, but
they can win the Cup.
That lineup looks much more representative with Johansson, who I thought looked good last night, poised with a little bit more skill than I gave him credit for, and Coyle. Like, I think those guys fill out your lineup. There's fewer 4A guys in your lineup, and they got the thing. They've got that thing. They've got the ass, which, there you go.
I mean, they are to me, likable on so many levels, the Bruins are this year. And I told you, I still think the biggest variable on the ice in terms of the skill level, the three biggest variables, and I left out a third one before, McAvoy and Krejci, but I've said, and Carlo. Carlo's another one. Carlo this year, for a guy who doesn't factor into many goals.
He's been great.
Oh, he's been dynamite. Really? And they haven't had him for the last two postseasons, I think.
That's right.
So you add him on top of it, and if McAvoy and Krejci are who they are.
And he also kind of stunk last year. He had a sophomore slump.
I mean, so you add in those three variables. That's three guys, basically, that you didn't have on your roster a year ago.
There's your Bruins reset. That segment was for you, Frank. We got a minute. Go ahead.
All right. So I've said it before. I give violence a chance. I don't think anybody should shy away from it. Granted, the league is different, but, you know, much like that 2011 team, it got to the point from the year before, the embarrassment they had. I look at this team this year, and out of the gate, I didn't like the way they were playing out of the gate this year. And then something just started to happen around December. Things started to change a little bit. And if you read up at all about group dynamics and how togetherness can bring it, you don't necessarily have to be the most talented in hockey, but effort, toughness, balls, just the sheer willingness to just, you know, kick someone's ass not just in a fight, but along the boards. These guys don't quit. You know, you got to love what you're seeing now. Can they win the Stanley Cup? Sure. They have a road to get there, but...
Well, to me, you know, Frank, a big thing was just taking the fight. Corrali willing to go the first time with Kane? That's a loss. He's going to lose that. Kane's a tougher fighter. I credit Corrali. Backus with the Haley character? That wasn't even... That was a joke. And that was a 10-second TKO. Two pops down. Backus was willing to take the fight. Wagner went. Like, just the willingness to go, I think, is all you really need to see there. No one can fight anymore. They all got shields. It's different. It's different. But I just had a little whiff of it that night. And it starts with the big fella. I love it when Chara fights. It's just like, look out. Because, again, there's just no one like him. There's no one like him. When he gets that reach and he's got you, it's
7-1 on skates. It's like fighting Sasquatch.
Punching downhill. You just... Oh, it's a, and the look on his puss. You have that picture again at NBC Sports.
I mean,
Sports
you
Boston.
Never see him that mad.
He got pissed.
He was like seething.
When the big guy gets mad, oh, it's beautiful to see. It's tremendous. Anyway, there's your set. Back to your calls right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha he he.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Heinen, banked it ahead. Marchand over the line to the high slot. McAvoy shoots. He scores. Marchand sent the puck to the middle. Charlie McAvoy wheeled in and snapped one inside the post. You can hear it ping off the bar. Bruins 2, Sharks 1. Marlowe trying to jam it ahead to Brusk. Creates a turnover. Powers through a check. Left of the net. Center fired. Dabrowski scores! Tic-tac-toe! And Jake Dabrowski pots the backhand. Bruins 3. Sharks 1. Bergeron twists. He'll snap it to Marchand, who gloves it. One-on-one. Cuts to the middle. Walks down in front. Backhand. He scores!
Makes a defensive play, then he's going to set it up for Marchand. This is Eric Karlsson's first shift since he went off with that injury. He did not look good on this. Marchand goes outside in on Karlsson as he gets Karlsson reaching and off balance. Marchand pulls the puck forehand to backhand and then goes five hole to finish it off. Bergeron with the pass up the ice. Marchand gloving it down. Karlsson backing off. He doesn't look like he can push off at all on that play, at least.
Brad Marchand now with 25 career shorthanded goals to tie Rick Nifty Middleton for first on the all-time list.
What that second period sounded like on 98.5 The Sports Hub. One goal was nicer than the next. And that shorthanded record, as I said before, I'll give old Marchand a tip of the cap for that one. I think that's a cool record. Bruins shorthanded goal leader. Career. Especially when you see the names on the list. Marchand, 1 with 25, tied with Rick Middleton, 25. Derek Sanderson next at 24. Don Marcotte next at 21. Espa, 20. It's a good list. It's a list with some integrity there.
Great list.
And for Marchand to surpass them all in whatever, it's only hasn't been that long. 7 years? Something like that?
Yeah, and I told you I looked it up. 9 years in a row with at least one shorty.
So it's been 9 years in the league. But either way, that's still, that's a cool list.
No, no, he's been in the league, I think, even longer than that. But he gets them every year. It's not like he had 1 year with a bunch of them, right?
2011 wasn't his rookie year?
I'll double check.
I thought it was. Either way, anyway, it doesn't
matter. It's just, he to me, the consistency of it. Every time he's on the ice as a penalty killer, it crosses your mind. Like, you're thinking, if he and Bergeron are out there together, not out of the realm of possibility they could get a goal here. They get it feels like they get a chance a game.
Okay, here's the cold water. Comes from Cam in the car. Your thoughts on the Bruins?
Hey, guys. So
I think the Bruins are playing absolutely awesome. It's wicked fun to watch. But the bottom line is, if we're talking about the Stanley Cup, there's just too many teams you got to go through, let alone the Lightning, who are probably going to beat you. If you get in a series with the Leafs, that's going to be a tough series. You don't want to face the Canadiens in the playoffs. And then the bottom line is, on the Metro, you got the Capitals, who got the juice and just loaded up at the trade deadline. And the Islanders are playing fire earlier this year. They're not so hot at the moment. But let's say you get to the finals.
So you're just saying too many good teams, Cam.
Too many good teams.
Okay, I'm just going to stop you. I don't necessarily agree.
You have to always take into account the unpredictability of the NHL playoffs. You get a hot goalie. Typically, you get skunked if you win the President's Cup. I'm certainly not afraid of Frederik Andersen in net for the Leafs. Like, get the hell out of here.
No, there's two things that I would say that I don't feel good about, and that's Tampa. But that's against anyone. That's exists for the other 30 teams. Tampa's better than everybody. And Holpe.
Yeah, Washington.
Right. Holpe. And I even go Holpe over Washington. I just think Holpe.
He just owns them.
Kills you. Just he owns you. Absolutely. But they should be right in it. If they get past Tampa, they can get past anyone. Even Holpe.
You know, the thing with Washington, too.
While we're on goaltending? All right, Tuca. Here we go. We got a good team. You're knocking at the door. If you're going to beat Tampa, Rask has to outperform Vasilevsky. He's got to help steal you games and steal you a series. Let's go, buddy. Let's see it.
I mean, he's going to be rested.
Here it is.
He's probably not going to play more than like 45 games.
He once again, overcame a bad start, has had a good year, overcame that personal thing that he had to go through. He's got the Boohoo Tuca crew all on his side. The team's flying. They're right there knocking at the door. Here we go again. Let's see. It won't even be a debate. We'll see right in front of us. Does he perform well enough or doesn't he? I'm open-minded. I'll accept good play if you want to give me good play. Okay, Tuca, here we go.
Were you surprised at all that Halak got the Sharks last night?
No, because the big one's Thursday against Tampa, and so Rask is going to get that one.
No, I know, but you got a day off in between. It's not like you could have played both.
Halak's playing well. After that first goal last night, which was a joke, he was terrific.
Well, he made the big save when they were up 3-1.
And this is a big thing as well, is that the backups continue. He had a dip there in the middle of the season. But over the last, I don't know, handful, he's been really good, which means they can trust him in a game like last night, which means they can rest Rask, which means if he can get into the playoffs with fewer than 50 games, now that's not even an excuse. I don't want to hear about the workload on Rask. It's all right there. Let's go, Tuca. Let's see. What do you got? Let's see. It'll be right there. Billy and Middlebro has been waiting on Robert Kraft. Go ahead, Billy.
How you doing? Good, Mike. Hey, Mike, one thing I want to tell you, this is a mental illness that Mr. Kraft's got. And, for him to go back to the second time is definitely, a real sick illness. And I'm just wondering, I mean, there's many people that go through this, but is it a time for you think for Jonathan to take over this team and just say, listen, why don't you get out of the way, Dad? You know, let him take it over. Because okay, so, a lot of these people...
Yeah, Billy, can I just stop? I'm sure it's not that easy, It sounded pretty simple. You know, Robert's dedicated his life to it, made a ton of money doing it, is the face of the thing, is one of the most important figures in all of sport on the earth. And so how do you, I'm just going to walk away. Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe he will. Maybe there'll come that point. But it ain't as easy as you're making it sound. Now, you know, what you hear is that Jonathan runs more of the day-to-day anyway, and that Robert is a little more of a little bit more. I'm not telling you totally, but it sort of the face of it and doesn't quite do the nitty-gritty like he used to.
Yeah, the word you want to use without using it is figurehead.
Figurehead, but I don't know if that's even fair. I mean, because I don't know. I don't know exactly what he's doing. I mean, I think Robert still makes the big decisions. He certainly represents the team in the league setting. You know, he's the committee members.
Sure.
He's not Jonathan's not the head of the TV committee. He's not on the comp, blah, blah, blah. That's still Robert. But, I mean, you're definitely headed in that direction anyway. I think it's pretty safe to say that this will keep that ball rolling down the hill.
Accelerate it?
Yeah. Or, you know, probably accelerate it as well.
I mean, it's like, let's just say they were to make a change now. This is the way he wants to go out.
Yeah, no, it's a tough way.
You know what I mean? Like, you almost have to just bite the bullet. Again, I would say bite the bullet, deal with it, move on, and when the time comes, then you want to retire, you retire.
We got Robert in Millis with the Celtics Thought. Go ahead, Robert.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just think, like you guys so put so well, the wheels have just fallen off, and Kyrie's an egomaniac, and like you said at the All-Star break when he decided to play, that's total ego, and it's just too much. There's too many too much red tape and
It's too much self-interest, right? I mean, it's so coming out of the All-Star break, that's a time where it's got to be, all right, that's time to put all aside, all for one, one for all. Like, right, exactly, that's how it's got to be. Instead, Kyrie misses the last two regular season games, but then goes and plays in the game. And then does an interview with ESPN where it's more of the same, calling out the young guys, saying, I wasn't happy with my minutes to start, and Terry Rozier is a competition. Then he does that thing, and then they come back and they lose three straight, and Terry Rozier goes in the crapper and is out tonight. And so it's the whole optics of, and not just the optics, the actual fact of going and playing in that game when it was time to put all your personal stuff aside and sacrifice for the team. I mean, that was the antithesis of it. And so I think that's fed into the whole thing. I think it has. And I think that's been a problem from the start.
I mean, look, we all agree the problems were there before then.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but if you want to tell me it was a catalyst.
But they weren't there last year. I think the whole dynamic of this year, and it's two-pronged, and you're right to bring up the second part of it. My part of it is that Kyrie's got one foot out the door. He's got one foot out the door, so it's like, dude, why are we going to follow you? You're gone. And as we've gone on in the season, that's just gotten worse. He took back what he said before the year. Going to the All-Star game was just a slap in the face. It should be treated that way. And the whole body language is that he's gone. So why would you follow him? But on the flip side, the players last year were willing to follow Kyrie. They were. There wasn't any dysfunction last year. They're willing to fall in line last year. But then they go to Game 7 of the East Finals without him, and now they got this swelled head. It's like, well, dude, we don't even need you on top of it.
Yeah, see, to me, that's a big factor, too, that the last time he played with them last year, they weren't the Eastern Conference finalists. All of a sudden,
They actually were. They lost in five games, but they were East finalists the year before as well.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true. Yeah, I mean, well, Tatum wasn't even on the team,
it's
though,
easy
right?
to forget because it was such a mismatch against the Cavs that year, but they did. They went to these finals the year before.
Yeah, so that's a good point. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
But the idea that they could push LeBron to seven, like, you know, and then Jaylen Brown comes out over the summer and says, you know, it talks as if they had won the series anyway. The whole attitude of those young guys changed with that run last year.
Andrew in Fairhaven, Celtics thought.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Defense last night was atrocious. I haven't seen defense worse than that since the NBA All-Star game.
Huh.
I wouldn't be surprised if they lose at home to Portland today. Portland's playing pretty good. On the opposite side of that, great win for the Bruins last night. It was so awesome to see Chara stick at the game like that. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Okay, Andrew, the defense was what they quit. They quit. Again, at NBC Sports Boston, I hate to bark at you, but can you play the replay of the Siakam dunk? That is so embarrassing what Kyrie Irving and, to a lesser extent, Gordon Hayward did on that play. It is.
It's just three players looking at an opposing player's ass. Go ahead, dunk it. We'll look at it.
If you haven't, and I understand that Kyrie's not going to contest the dunk at the rim, but can you stand there? Here's Siakam. Watch what Kyrie does. He runs to the corner, and Gordon Hayward also lays up. The whole play starts with the Time Lord not being able to. I mean, that's just a joke that he got that much time, but look at Kyrie, that angle from underneath the rim where Kyrie's running to the corner. And watch Kyrie. Watch this. Oh, no, I want nothing to do with that. And you're going to follow that guy? You're going to sell out for that guy when he's gone? I mean, why would you?
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. And look, again, he's not a leader. He's a hard guy to line up behind. But I just don't think it's as simple as pinning it on him. These young guys on this team, they've acted like little babies. Like, all of a sudden, they're entitled to something because what? They made a run to the conference finals by beating Milwaukee and Philly with home court? You know, so they weren't anywhere near as close to a championship as they thought they were.
We wrap it up with your thoughts after Murray's. We don't wrap it up. Well, one more segment of your wonderful phone calls is what I meant to say after Murray's update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
same old. I thought that obviously we struggled to score in those stretches, and then that bled into transition defense, bled into our defense. I thought we were all over the place defensively tonight. And when I say all over the place, I mean we were taking a lot of shortcuts, and that hurt us. The reality is that we're taking a lot of shortcuts and not being as solid as we have been in the past. In the last two games, I thought we were really good against Milwaukee. So it's not like we don't know what we need to do, but we just, for whatever reason, have taken too many shortcuts. And you know, you can't do that against any team. And certainly tonight, they exposed us and played great.
Brett said he thought you guys were taking shortcuts these past couple of games. Is that something you've seen? And if so, what can you guys do to fix this
issue? Nice question.
Brad talked about just defensively, guys been taking shortcuts. So do you see that, and how do you guys fix things like that at this point of the season, do you feel like?
I don't know. It's up to Brett.
So the coach says after the game they're taking shortcuts. They ask Marcus Morris. He says next question. They ask Kyrie Irving. He says, it's up to Brad. So there's a disconnect there. That's, putting it politely, they might heat their coach. Possible.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, it certainly looked like it on Saturday night. You had quit then. You had quit again last night against, you know, the best competition in the East, the team that you're trying to match up against here and get over the hump. And certainly you're not going to catch them now in the standings. But they quit. They quit, which to me looks like, at least on the floor, that they don't at least respect the coach. And then when you say stuff like that and just next question, go ask Brad, essentially, like, it's just more of disconnect. It's just proof that there is a disconnect all the way around. It's not just with the players. I think it's with the coach and the players as well.
I mean, it's one of two things, and neither one is good, right? Like, first of all, the whole go ask Brad or ask Brad, ooh, that's never good.
Never good.
Right? That reeks of Adelius Thomas and go ask Bill. He's got all the answers.
Exactly.
Right? As soon as you hear that, like, well, I don't know, go ask the coach. It either means he's got all the answers because he's a genius. Just go ask him. Right? Or, let's say it's not that, and honestly, I don't think it is. I don't think they hate Stevens, but I think it's, dude, I'm done talking. Go ask him. That's his job, not mine. I'm done. I am done. I am done talking my face off trying to get through to these meatheads that think they've already won a championship.
Morris wouldn't even, he gave it the next question thing. I mean, a healthy, functional team says the coach is right. We need to get back on defense.
Absolutely.
Simply put, the coach is right. No one's willing to go there.
They're a mess.
Okay.
They are a mess.
We continue with your thoughts. We've got Matt in Swampscott. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I think you guys kind of got it a little backwards. I think the young guys are not willing to try because they know they're the ones out the door as opposed to being Kyrie out the door.
I think that's, I'm just going to stop you there. Could entirely be that thing. That whole Kyrie free agency year, Kyrie, Anthony Davis, who's gone? Is he gone? Is he staying? Are we out? Is he coming in? That whole thing, it has to be a factor.
Yeah, I mean, who's got the power, right? Who are they building around here?
Well, Kyrie.
No, but I mean, like, the both side, from the perspective of the young guys, I'm saying now, they look at it and go, well, wait a minute here. You want us to follow him, but he's not committed here.
Right.
So I'm supposed to follow that guy?
Right.
Who talks down to me?
Right. And meanwhile, you're trying to trade my ass.
Right, exactly. Meanwhile, well, I'm not sure. Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm not even going to be here. Right? Like, the whole thing has got their head spinning. Like, think of the message there.
Right.
Follow that guy. For what? He's an a-hole.
Exactly. And he's gone.
And if he's not, I'm gone. So why should I follow him?
Jeff and Stone. This is what happened. You sell out for players like that. Jeff and Stoneham, go ahead on Kraft. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys? First time caller, long time fan. Thanks for taking the call. I just can't believe what I'm seeing as far as the coverage on this in terms of the insanity of what they anticipate they might be coming down with, from a punishment from $1 million to actually draft picks to stepping down as from ownership. So do you think there's any chance that any of this is actually going to happen?
Nope. No chance it's going to happen. It's just Patriots fans crying in advance, like a preemptive whine. It's going to be games. It's going to be games.
It'll be a Kraft penalty, not a franchise penalty.
So, asking you, what should be the proper penalty?
If they gave him exactly what Irsay got, I would never complain about that.
Yeah, I've said before, between 4 and 8, if it's more than 10 games, it's too much. If it's 8 or not, if it's 9, 8 or 9, you know.
Even that feels excessive.
I mean, I feel that's too high.
I do too. If you're asking me, you gave a hard answer, 4. It should be 4 games. I think what Irsay did was a little worse. In the same ballpark, but a little worse. But It shouldn't be any more than six. If it's seven or eight, is like it's no crime against humanity. So like that's what it's going to be. All this other nonsense, I don't want to spend a second on it. If it happens, I'll lead the charge with you in saying it's unfair. But it ain't going to happen.
I mean, I tell you what, if the owners are smart, the more that I think about it, because again, it's as you said, it's the other owners deciding and then telling Kraft, I mean, telling Goodell what to do. If they're smart, they'll say, no, he gets the same thing that Ursa got. Right. I mean, you know, let's just keep it the same. Right. And then anything even remotely in the area, we have a standard set. We stick to that.
We have a precedent.
Right. And then nobody can bitch. Nobody can appeal. Nothing. Nope. This is what it is. Then if someone does something really bad, well, then you start looking into, you know, taking away the franchise or whatever else. But up until then.
See, I think what Jerry Richardson did, who did lose his franchise, was worse. Years, decades of workplace mistreatment and sexual harassment and racial issues. And no, that's workplace. I mean, Robert obviously wasn't in the workplace, but you know that what Richardson did was different. You know, that's on the job. And that was, decades, years of mistreatment. So I think Richardson deserved what he got. This doesn't rise to that level. This is games. This is going to be a Jim Irsay situation. Sean in Everett on the Bruins. What do you got, Sean?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say the Bruins looked great last night against, you know, a tough shot team, definitely skilled, definitely got some big bodies over there. In terms of the new guys, Johansson and Coyle, I really had them written up as, you know, some third line guys, but I think they're definitely showing some pop, some skill, great hands on the both of them. So I think they definitely have the opportunity to make some second line production possibly. And
I'm just going to stop you there. I feel the same way. Just saying that you just thought they were third line guys. Let's say they're just third line guys. You didn't have a third line. I mean, I think people are sort of overlooking that. I mean, I think it's about your best players too, even in hockey. But those other lines get what combined 20 minutes a night. You know, they play a third of the game at least, if not more. Those bottom two lines. They don't quite play half, but they play somewhere between a third and a half of the game. So you have guys who can play down there, or else you'll get exposed. So I think Johansson has the skill set to be a top six guy. I do. I saw it again last night. And whether he is or not, I don't know. Whether he ultimately fits up there when Pastrnak comes back, I don't know. But either way, those two guys make you better. They make you better categorically. The lineup looks better. It makes more sense with those two guys.
If you think about it in these terms, going into the year, they said, you know what, we're going to give it a shot with some of the young guys and see if we can fill in that third line and maybe even get a second line right winger. They got to the trading deadline and they didn't have an answer. So you know what they did? They filled in those spots. Like, and I'm not even sure they filled in the second line winger, but close enough. Like, the whole idea was, well, we didn't have anyone step up and emerge, so you know what? We'll fill in the depth on the roster and then go from there. That's really what they did.
Yeah, and I think on that third line thing, they just waited too long. I think it was apparent they had nothing from early on. Wayne and Grafton, you got to be quick.
Oh, Chara's the man. I mean, the look on his face, the intensity. I mean, he got horse collared. And then when he got up, you saw what happened. It's, man against a child. I mean, Kane, a tough guy. I give him credit for going. He's 6'2". Chara's 6'9". That's a 7-inch difference. I mean, I guess size does matter.
There you go, Wayne. Peace out. I'll stop it there for you. Kenny just can't help himself, Kenny. Salty and Lowell, you got to be quick, Salty, if you got 2 points.
Hey, guys, fourth time, long time. Just want to say, you think last night's game is going to be kind of similar to 2011 when the Bruins won the Cup. They played the Canadiens around the same time of year, 1-6-5, and that's the game when Carey Price and Tim Thomas fought. That game kind of was like a springboard for the rest of the year. You think it's going to be the same type of scenario after last night's game?
So
For Robert Kraft, hey, we legalized the weed, we legalized the gambling. Why not legalize the prostitution? Get these ladies or men some health insurance and, you know, maybe a 401k.
Definitely. Let's get some retirement benefits for those folks. No doubt about it. Yeah, get a little pension fund, something going there.
For me on the Bruins, just real quick, I don't necessarily want to compare it to that Montreal game that he's talking about. It did have that kind of feel a little bit.
A little bit.
If nothing else, the thing that impressed me the most is what you were talking about yesterday. A game like that, considering the road trip, considering they're adding new faces, like, I feel like, I don't know, I would have almost allowed a loss there. It would have been somewhat acceptable. Instead, they come out shot out of a cannon. Every time he looked up, it felt like there was a brawl or a goal. Like, that game was ridiculous.
Tremendous.
I can't think of many wet farts under Cassidy.
They haven't had many off nights. I mean, they win every night, but...
No, there's only one that sticks out to me, and it was that New Jersey game earlier this year.
Well,
where they...
The season opener this year wasn't
too bad. Oh, no, that was a stinker, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was a little weak.
No, no, that was really bad. Yeah, I forgot about that one. But they had one in New Jersey this year, too. Remember they lost 5-0 or something like that? Oh, God, that was awful. Yeah. It was an absolute rotten fish.
But they just
it was horrible.
They really just don't have, like, quit. Again, it just speaks to their resiliency and their balls. That game last night was just awesome, top to bottom.
You want to hear some I think this guy's going to do some Patriots whining. I know I've gotten through the day without being triggered.
No, let's let it go. After that Celtic team last night, I'm a little hostile. I need someone to dump on.
Scott in the car, what's your take on Kraft?
Oh, I'm not being anyway. I just don't understand why suspending Kraft like for games has any effect on the Patriots day to day. What does an owner do during a game?
It doesn't. They're not punishing the Patriots, and they shouldn't punish the Patriots. They should punish Kraft.
So why would that be a punishment if they're going to punish him for a game? Because he does nothing like during. He just watches the game.
Yeah, but that's his day. Oh, so your comment line said, what would suspending Kraft do? I thought you were going to go, and thanks for the call, Scott. I thought you were going to go, that's not going to prove anything. They shouldn't even suspend him. So once again, I'm not giving you enough credit. what is it? I mean, you're right from a practical standpoint. It has nothing to do with the team. It doesn't impact the day-to-day of the team. But you don't think Robert not being able to show up to that stadium and sit in that box and get that TV spot that he gets every single game, or walking the field and waving to the fans like the Queen of England, or especially opening night with the banner, being there holding up the 6 trophies, you don't think that's important to him? Like, that's his life's work. That's his crowning achievement. That's his legacy. Him not being there, that takes a huge chunk out of the man's soul. So is that going to cost him a lot of money? It ain't going to cost the team anything, practically speaking, but in terms of Robert's life and passion and that, oh, my God, it's a huge blow.
I'll tell you what, I'll take it as a simple no. It's a no. You don't get to, these guys get to do whatever they want because they get all the money in the world, and now someone's telling them, no, you can't go. It's like detention for a fifth grader or a seventh grader. What does it really do? All you do is keep them in the after school for another hour.
Just for once in their life, they get to hear the word no.
Right. So I'm okay with just that part of it. No, you can't go. No, that's not allowed.
Stu, what's in the final word?
You guys franchising kickers and how un-American it is.
Okay, that's it. Did we play it too soon ago where Brad Stevens got cursed out by his wife for swearing last night?
Oh, I would play that again.
We also have the Felger Maz off-air show tonight. Felger Maz, me and Maz, 6 o'clock sharp. This is the new thing. We're going to run right out of here at 6 o'clock sharp and go right online, Facebook Live, Twitch, for the Felger and Maz off-air show. What do you want to talk about tonight, Maz?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Give me something.
This seems well thought out.
It does. Yeah, no, it was well conceived. I'm still pissed off about the Celtics, but we usually don't do the after show on what we do on the air.
Want to discuss our coverage of Kraft?
Sure.
Because we didn't do
it. Yeah, good one.
We sort of did it.
Oh, good one. I think that's a good opportunity.
News story on Friday without any calls. Management has been kind of leery about the whole thing. We haven't gone both barrels on it. You know, some fans are complaining about it, da-da-da-da-da. So you want to address that.
I like that idea.
We'll explain the rationale behind why we or the station handled it the way we did it.
Yeah, no, I believe in the transparency on that part of it. I would love to do that.
Ah, transparency on the Felger and Maz Off-Air Show, Facebook Live, 6 o'clock. Join us. Final word next.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. All right, let's get to it. In case you missed this earlier, if there's one thing that Felger, Maz, and myself, we all hate the idea of, it's franchising kickers. Something the San Francisco 49ers decided to do yesterday with their stupid kicker.
This, to me, borders on a political transgression.
This is, go ahead. Someone needs to be physically beaten for this.
I told you, someone needs to be arrested. This should be a felony. Keep going. It's un-American.
Franchise tags are now available across the league, and the San Francisco 49ers have applied their franchise tag to their kicker. You tool bags.
I'm telling you, again, I don't know any other word to use for this, and you laugh at me. It's un-American. Premium positions.
Yeah. An actual football player. Yeah.
Premium positions. Not just a football player. Because you know what? You can take your right guard and shove him as far as I'm concerned.
I'm trying to tell you the kickers aren't players.
No, and I question whether a guard is. I think
that's a little strong.
I think the whole thing should relate to premium positions. And you know what? If you have to collectively bargain this and identify what the premium positions are, fine. Quarterback, corner, defensive end, whatever. You pick 3 to 5 and that's it. But like kicker? Kicker's on the list?
You cheapskate tool bags. Honestly, that's what you are. Cheapskate tool bags. The cheapest, the lowest paid position on the field. They even make less than running backs, if you can believe it. They're even more useless and interchangeable than running backs. And you have to pay the kicker. Oh, I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
Kickers.
They should be taken out back and slapped across the face.
Told you, felony.
Slap them. Kick them out of the, relegate them. You won't pay your kicker? What's the matter with you? What are you doing paying a kicker $5 million anyway?
Should be a felony.
I can't stand that.
Punishable by a maximum of 5 years in prison.
Absolutely.
I'm half serious.
I'm not joking.
I hate the rule.
They should be taken out of the league. At least beaten about the face with a moist sausage.
And, of course, we have Brad Stevens.
Seriously, though, it's a horrible rule.
So Adam Jones is standing here. Christian Arcan, again, my condolences. Jonesy outdid himself last night. He's live here in studio, so I don't know why we're going to play the tape, but might as well. What Brad Stevens said the F word last night. It got out on TV, which is not frowned upon, or which is not encouraged in the Stevens household, right? It's frowned upon, right?
No. Before he can even take the straw out of his mouth or put down his hobo sack, he's already getting yelled at by his wife before he can even sit down.
Yeah. Well, this is what it sounds like when his wife washes his mouth out for soap.
Yeah. That's waterboarding in the Stevens household. They put the old bar of soap in Brad Stevens' mouth. Oh, gee Willikers, no, give me the soap again. No, I promise. No. I'm sorry, gee Willikers. What do you? I'll never do it again. I'll never say it again. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh God, I don't know. I got the best of me. I don't even know who I am anymore. Kyrie's driving me nuts. Jason Tatum won't listen to me. Gee Willikers, what's going on out here?
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.